Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live here on MSG, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. I'm Paul Dottino, joined by former Giants offensive lineman Roman Oben. We have just heard from Coach Tom Coughlin. Right. 13 players on the pre-practice injury report, at least 8 of who will not practice at all. This is not good. It starts with the offensive line. Chris Snee's got a bad hip, and David Boss has a swollen hand.
Well, I think, first of all, people need to realize you played on a Sunday night, and so you're really, that Wednesday practice, you're only about 60 to 72 hours post-game. So you do have a lot of guys that just won't practice that Wednesday, because from Wednesday to Thursday to Friday, you can make 25, 30% improvement. So you almost have to come back tomorrow and see if those guys will go tomorrow, be better by Friday, day off, and then be ready to play on Sunday. So sometimes those Wednesday injury reports, a guy may just need that extra day, especially some of those older veterans.
Some other headline guys, although on defense, would be Kenny Phillips. We knew he had a knee injury the other night in Philly, and he's not going to go. Nor is, unfortunately, linebacker Michael Boley now, who has come down with a hip injury. He had had a hamstring injury throughout the course of the preseason.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, it could be a thing where one injury affects another. So the overcompensating for the ham can affect the hip. You know, I'm obviously not a doctor, but, you know, Boley is a guy that, you know, with one day of practice, if he goes Friday, I mean, he'll still be ready to go. So that's something, you still have to monitor that each day.
Now, Stevie Brown played well for Kenny Phillips after Phillips had to leave the other night in Philadelphia. One would assume that he would get the start against Cleveland on Sunday. Checking in on some of these other injuries again, Roman, it just goes on and on, but Hakeem Nicks will not practice today. Of course, he only practices on Thursday. He's got that swollen knee to go with a sore foot.
Right. And again, the foot probably affected the knee. He's monitored it, and I think he's a guy that obviously wants to be back there. I had a great game a couple weeks ago, but if you want to take that time off so you don't go backwards when you are back to full speed. So, again, it's something that you have to monitor.
Great game for Dominic Hixon, caught right. over 100 yards
Excellent
worth of
game.
Passes
Excellent
in Philadelphia. Ramsey's Barden was also able to be involved in a couple of key plays in that game as well, but now we suddenly find out, guess what? Headaches for Ramsey's. He's got to go concussion tests now, and he's not going to practice today.
Well, it could be precautionary. I mean, Coach Coughlin did say that Ramsey's Barden complained about a headache, and they had to go check it out. And sometimes that's a 24-hour process until that's cleared. So where you didn't see Ramsey's Barden get hit in a collision, per se, is something you complain about. You have to check it out. I mean, you're obligated to do that. Maybe he'll come back tomorrow and be ready on Sunday for sure.
Okay, Roman, we'll get some more updates on these injuries later on in the week. Let's go to our first Twitter question of the day, and it comes from @Devon423, who says, I thought Brown should have started on Sunday. He's talking about Andre Brown, the running back. He says he's been more productive, and it would have given Ahmad Bradshaw some time to shake off some of the rust. Well, Roman, I don't think either running back did so well in Philly.
No, and then you're also looking at, he only ran the ball 19 times, so sometimes, especially with Ahmad Bradshaw, you see some of those one-yard, two-yard gains, you know, second half, just like they did to the Giants defensively, that's when you see the big breaks. He didn't run the ball well early in the game, so that kind of slowed the momentum of the run. And again, 5 series in a row, the Giants punted on Sunday night, so that affected the running game. You just didn't get it going early. Had it gone early, that would have led to probably better running production.
Remember, of course, you could always send your Twitter questions with that hashtag GiantsChat, and we'll see what we can do about getting to them before the end of the program. Let's talk about the passing game for a second. Martellus Bennett, a touchdown catch in each of the first 3 games, did not get one the other night against Philly, had a long reception wiped out by a penalty.
Right. I mean, that was a 38-yarder that would have put the Giants inside the 20-yard line. Again, it was a holding call, I think, by Will Beatty, and that's something that was negated. Talk about those 5 punts early that started. So that momentum just wasn't there. I think had Bennett caught that, or had it not been negated by a penalty, you might have seen him go again, maybe in red zone. You might have seen him continue his touchdown streak. But, again, I think the formula is still there. The formula still works. It's just that the game they were playing, I mean, the Eagles gave their best effort on Sunday. But, again, Bennett is a guy that still should come up big this week.
Now, Roman, people are blowing up Twitter. We got another one from JCorv3, who says, my biggest gripe with defensive coordinator Perry Fuel is his lack of in-game adjustments. Says he rarely changes his game plan. Well, I don't know if the game plan was a problem in Philly. I think it was a lack of defensive discipline down the stretch.
Well, I think you saw it, and even you saw it on television on the backside. For example, Jason Pierre-Paul, he was in the right space. He was forcing the spill, the outside runs by McCoy. And then towards the end, what happens, you start chasing Vic, you start chasing McCoy, and then in the fourth quarter, one breaks. Late in the third quarter, one breaks. And so it shows on the bigger picture lack of defensive discipline, but obviously you're in the right place for a while. It's just that closing at the end, you know, not missing a tackle, showing that discipline throughout is what it took.
And quite honestly, I think the defense was a bit fatigued, too, after chasing McCoy and Vic exactly. all night. That was a little bit of a problem. Well, Roman Ohman and I will be back after this timeout. We will discuss more as what the Giants are going to face this weekend against the Cleveland Browns. Back on MSG after this. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live here on MSG, brought to you by Hackensack University Medical Center. I'm Paul Dottino along with Roman Ohman. Let's talk about those Cleveland Browns who are winless to this point, Roman. It's a young team, but a lot of experience on that coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the coaching staff and you look at what they've assembled. Brad Childress, obviously at Minnesota Vikings, he was integral in developing Donovan McNabb early in his career. Dick Gerons had nine lives as a coach with the Bears and the Bills. He was Tom Coughlin's original defensive coordinator in Jacksonville.
Sure.
And obviously Ray Rhodes, who's forgotten more defenses most likely than a lot of coaches. And then at the helm is Mike Holmgren, who's the president. So the formula that they have on the sidelines definitely works. It's just a matter of trying to get those young guys the confidence to play complete games, close games out at the end.
Now, they've got an exciting young player in Trent Richardson,
right,
who is their second most targeted receiver on the team. They're trying to get him the ball a lot in passing plays, a lot of short passes. He's also running the ball pretty well. But the bottom line is, Roman, right now, he's got to be the guy towing the boat.
Right, and, you know, Trent Richardson coming out of college is one of those once-every-10-year backs. I think the organization still laments about not drafting LaDainian Tomlinson in 2001, getting a defensive lineman instead, but you know, I think Trent Richardson, you know, you have to just find ways to use him creatively. And I think they've done that, but you just have to do more of it. You know, when you're down a lot in the games, he's got 15 catches for the year. Then he's getting more receptions. You're in pass mode. You've got Joe Thomas. You've got a franchise left tackle. You know, you've got Brandon Wheaton, obviously a rookie quarterback at the helm, although he's 28 years old. I mean, so they have a formula offensively that can work.
Wheaton, seven picks, three touchdowns. But the one thing he's doing well, he's very good with the short pass. You know, they throw 44% of their passes to the short right. So they're trying to build his confidence by getting his completion percentage up.
Well, you know, in that Shermer, it's that West Coast system. Again, I mentioned Holmgren and all these coaches. Kind of that old Eagles philosophy when Donovan McNabb came out. That's what, like I said, Brad Childress, you know, being offensive coordinator. So trying to build his confidence and trying to put him in position with a good running game, he should be able to throw the ball well down the field so you don't have to chuck the ball downfield every other play to make big gains. I know he's 28 years old, but he's still a rookie.
Some big problems for the Browns coming into this game. Their top three wide receivers are hurt. We don't know about their status. Little, who leads the NFL with five drops, has been his primary target. Now, he's a little bit nicked up, but he's going to play. This is a guy who Whedon really needs to produce. Massaquoi's also got a bad hammy, and that's another deal here.
But then they've also got Ben Watson as a tight end. He's always been very reliable down the seam. I mean, look at what Brent Celek did to the Giants defensively last week. So I think Cleveland's going to look at that, too, on film. You know, use that formula going forward. But again, offensively, they've got some weapons. They've got some injuries on special teams. You know, Cribbs is out. So when you're a bad team or a team that hasn't won, fortunately, you have a lot of good kickoff returns because you're always getting kickoff returns. So, but Cribbs is definitely hurts them by not being there because he's something that gives them some kind of explosiveness for offense.
Now, on the other side of the ball, defensively, everybody knows about cornerback Joe Hayden. He's clearly one of the best
right.
in the game. He's a real good cover corner. The thing about it, though, is he's under suspension because of that substance policy. This will be the fourth and final game he will not be able to play, and their secondary is hurting, Roman. They're just not very good.
Yeah, the secondary is hurting, so that really puts more of an onus on their linebackers, really solid linebackers. DeCole Jackson, middle linebacker who doesn't come off the field. You know, he's kind of a Ray Lewis, you know, so to speak, in that defense. Had an interception earlier in the year. They've got some injuries again in the secondary, and their D-line is also pretty solid. So, you know, they're young, Paul. They're just learning how to win. And I think when you look at teams like Cleveland, individually, with the X's and O's, you look at everyone individually, say, this guy's talented, that guy's talented, but they just can't put it all together. And because they're winless, you don't want to give those guys confidence of what they can do well. Again, coaching staff, sidelines, their philosophy is definitely made to win, but they just haven't been able to do it. And I think the Giants coming off a loss, you're not going to have to say, okay, is this a trap game? Are you going to underrate? No. They have two teams coming off a loss, so there's going to be a lot to play for on Sunday.
Well, the Cleveland Browns are in the bottom five of the NFL, giving up over 400 yards a game. And I'll give you a really good stat, Roman. Since near the end of that Philly game where they had the lead and then lost it to the Eagles, they have not had the lead since. Three straight games without a lead. If the Giants get on them early, they're going to fracture the Browns' confidence.
Well, again, they played last Thursday, so they've had a little bit longer to dissect the Giants and look at what they've done poorly, so to speak. They're going to look at the Dallas game. They look at the first half of the Bucs, and they're going to look at the things the Giants don't do well. Again, young teams, that's the kind of confidence you need. What doesn't this team do well? And this is what we can exploit.
Okay, we'll have more Giants coverage all week long here on Giants.com. And don't forget, when the Giants play the Browns on Sunday here at MetLife Stadium, we will kick off our coverage right here live on MSG with Giants opening drive live at 10 a.m. right here from where it all happens. MetLife Stadium, Big Blue, and the Cleveland Browns. We'll see you next time.